From John's Gospel, chapter 14. These things I've spoken to you while I was still with you, but the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We continue our way through the season of Advent, focusing each week on one of the themes that are, I believe, the attributes of our church, the attributes of our faith, the things that the Christian faith and church contribute to life in general, each year to see us through and to help us celebrate. Last week, the theme of hope, hope even in the midst of heartbreak. Today, the idea of peace. How is it that who we are as a church and who we are as people who share it. How are we peacemakers? How does the peace of God come through us? The Sunday of Peace. One of my favorite images that at least proclaims both in lyric and song, the theme of peace is a well-loved hymn. I'm sure most of us know it either as entitled, "It Is Well With My Soul," or "When Peace Like a River." When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And it goes on. Well, many of our most beloved hymns are rooted in the lyrics anyway, from the Bible, from the Psalms and other places. So I was curious as to where, it turns out Horatio Spafford is his name, the lyricist of this hymn, where he might have gotten his inspiration. Was it a part of a psalm, or was it a part of some other form of poetry in the Bible? It turns out it's not. There is no biblical basis, literally, for the lyrics of that song. However, if you look at Horatio Spafford's life, you might find quite a remarkable parallel to the book of Job, the trials of Job, going way beyond what we would expect from someone who would write, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, it is well with my soul." Horatio Spafford was a prominent attorney in the mid to late 19th century in Chicago and had assembled a good family, many holdings, and a prosperous business. And in 1870, his young son succumbed to scarlet fever, which did many in that day and age. And just a year after that, after he had invested quite heavily in real estate in the Chicago area, the Chicago fire hit, and much of his holdings and his wealth were destroyed. But he had a wife and four daughters, and in the way of recovering from the death of his son, they planned a trip to Europe. And late in the planning stages, Spafford was asked to stay in Chicago for a little bit longer while his wife and four daughters boarded the ship and set sail for Europe. On the way over, the ship on which his wife and four daughters were sailing was struck by another ship, and in a matter of 15 minutes, their ship sunk. Spafford's wife was saved, but he lost his four daughters. He got a cable from his wife from Europe that said, "Saved alone. What shall I do now?" Well, that was a good question. Horatio Spafford got on the next boat and sailed for Europe, and the story is told that when that ship was over where his wife's ship was lost, the captain told Horatio Spafford that that's where they were, and he went below and wrote the lyrics to this song, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll." Now you know where he's coming from. "And yet," he says, "it is well with my soul." Now I've posted a link on the church website that has the longer version of Spafford's story, and what I've just told you, in fact, is not the half of it. "Even so, it is well with my soul," he says. How do we make that real this Advent in the life of this church? What do we have from our faith, from our fellowship, that enables us in the midst of turmoil, tragedy, to say, "Peace like a river, yet makes it well with my soul"? I think the church and our faith and our tradition have two literal images and one metaphorical that I would call today the creche the cross, and the canyon. When peace, like a river, flows next to the creche, around the cross, and through the canyon, we can come to understand that it, if not at the moment, may be well with our souls. First, the creche, the nativity scene. There are churches somewhat more liturgically precise than ours that when they have a nativity scene in their sanctuary or elsewhere, they don't put the baby in until Christmas Eve because that's when he came. I think we need the baby now. I think we need the child to bring peace like a river to strengthen our souls. There's nothing quite like a child to simply stop whatever it is you're doing, either ask you for something, express a need, or just crack you up with something insane that they come up with. It's no accident, I think, that God chose to come in human form as a child. There's a theological rejoinder that perhaps Jesus was just a guy that God adopted into saviorship and sonship, because in the first of the Gospels it was written, there's no birth story. Mark doesn't have one. But Matthew does, and Luke does, and John has a metaphorical one. And I think that God, by very careful design, when choosing to become one with the world, chose to become one with us as a child. Now we have Jesus showing up as the baby in the birth story, and we next see him as kind of an impudent teenager. Well, that makes sense too, in the temple. But in between, there must have been stories about what he did or what he said. Jeannie's got a 7-year-old in the after-school tutoring program where she works that the other day was reading the book Green Eggs and Ham. Everybody knows that one. And, you know, halfway through it, there's this long list. I do not like them on a boat, in a moat, and so on and so on and so on. About halfway through this, the kid puts the book down, looks at her and goes, drama, drama, drama. That's what kids do. And what would we do without them? You know, I don't remember a single thing that happened that day except that. And that's great. Peace like a river flowing by the creche where we have the child, and metaphorically where all of us have children in our lives. Well, that's the peace that we might find in a Norman Rockwell painting or a Currier and Ives or Thomas Kincaid image. It's not the only image of peace, but it's one, and we need it, and we can share it. The stories of children bring wellness, perhaps, to our souls. But it's not the only one. For sorrows do roll like sea billows, and next to the creche, we have the cross. It's an amazing irony, in a way, that the constitutive feature of the Christian faith, the symbol that makes us what we are, is also, in fact, an instrument of death. It's an execution machine, and a particularly heinous one. And yet, it is the one that stands firm and fast when sea billows roll. Imagine the 15 inches of rain that we get in this part of the country, and the weekend we get it. And down the Double Mountain Fork of the Brazos River comes what may be a raging flood. We know what that feels like emotionally. Imagine also then the cross stuck to it. The raging flood, the barrenness of drought, the riverbed through which peace flows, we proclaim, and yet from time to time as dry as a bone. And in the middle of that, the cross stands firm. The theology of the doctrine of atonement suggests to us that the cross was only the start of it. Jesus spent 3 hours dying in great pain on a Friday afternoon and then spent 3 days absorbing for us all of the pain of humankind. And in the end rose from the dead. But in the meantime, that 3 days absorbing all that we can experience makes us one and kin with him, even in the experience of trial and tribulation and tragedy, such that even Horatio Spafford can say, maybe because of the cross, it is still well with my soul. The creche and the cross, literal symbols of our faith, of peace like a river. And finally, metaphorically, the canyon. I've been to the Grand Canyon twice. I've flown over it a couple of times. I've seen countless pictures of it. And many people say to those who have yet to see the Grand Canyon, you know, it's the one thing where the hype really lives up to the reality. All of what people say is there and the experience of it, that's actually right. It lives up to it. The canyon, the Grand Canyon perhaps, I think metaphorically for us symbolizes the empty tomb. The vastness that is so incomprehensible. The emptiness that is so amazing that ironically there's no room for death in it. The Grand Canyon was created by the running of the Colorado River, bringing perhaps peace like a river over countless millennia that give us this amazing image that in the midst of this day, my day, when we see the river through the canyon, well, that's been there a while. It took a long time for the river to make this happen. And several millennia from now, iPads and YouTube notwithstanding, the canyon will still be there. Peace, like the river flowing through and creating the Grand Canyon, is maybe as close as the human mind can come to comprehending the unimaginable power that God brought to bear on us and our lives to defeat death. When peace, like a river flowing through the canyon, immutably and inevitably and relentlessly beyond circumstance, creates a vastness so immense that death cannot be held, it is perhaps well with my soul. Now I can tell you with virtual certainty that if anything close to what happened to Horatio Spafford happened to me, I would be unlikely to be able to write those lyrics. Except for the promise that Jesus gave us in the text, peace I leave with you. Peace is here, peace like a river, peace flowing gently, sweet Afton, past the crash, flowing around and maybe raging in the midst of the power of the cross, and relentlessly making more and more space where it is well with our souls. Peace he left with us. May peace be with us this day and through the ages. Amen.